Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Free Spirits Healing Circle, where we will explore ways to let go of our fears to become free. And tonight we're going to be joined by Mary, Kat, and Jean, and perhaps some others will call in. That's usually how it works. The shares are going to be timed to 6 minutes apiece. And I'm going to start us off. Oh boy. Okay, folks. Hold on just a minute. Kat, would you be willing to do me a big favor and do a little centering exercise?
Yes, absolutely.
I was going to do that. Thank you so much.
Okay. And everybody who's listening, thanks for joining us. If you can close your eyes and take 3 long, deep breaths all the way down into your tummy. And just take the time to yourself. Take those breaths long, long and deep.
4, 6.
And each breath, think about love. Think about flowers. Think about your favorite meal. Think about anything that makes you happy.
What to say?
And just keep breathing long and deep.
I have Kat doing that.
And as you come to a place where you're starting to feel warm in yourself,
you have 6, 4, 6.
Become aware that you are actually centered into your heart.
Oh boy. Well.
And your heart thinks.
You're trying. Oh, okay.
Your heart has a mind. So think on what your heart wants. And just listen. Listen. Listen to your heart. And bring your mind into the center of your tummy, into your solar plexus. And let your heart tell the center of who you are, what the heart wants. And bring your mind into the crown chakra, the top of your head. And tell yourself, tell your heart, to tell your head what it wants. And place your mind into your spinal cord, into a rod of white light, and bring that knowledge of your heart into the threefold of your body, your mind, and your spirit. And now listen to your soul. And for the rest of the evening or the day, allow the quietness of your heart and your soul to speak truth to you. And open your eyes when you're ready.
Thank you, Kat. And I'm happy to say that Mary has been able to join us, and Sharon is in the circle, and Jean and Kat and myself. We had one other that dropped out, but that's okay. As I said, we're going to do our sharing for 6 minutes apiece, and Mary's going to do the closing meditation. She's graciously agreed to do that. And I'm just going to have one mic open at a time so that each person share will be uninterrupted. And tonight we have two topics. And I also want to say before I announce what the topics are that I'd appreciate it if people could email me or phone me with a couple of topics so that I can have a roster of them for future shows, at least for the next month or so. So the topics tonight are compassion is one, and the other is works in progress at a human and spiritual level. So that's what we had to go with, and I'm going to just go down the queue in the order that the calls are logged. And Jean, you are first if you're willing to share.
David, excuse me, would you please repeat works in progress in, please finish that because I was writing it down.
Okay, at both a human and spiritual level.
Oh, human. Okay, that was the word I forgot. Thank you.
Yes.
Level. Because I always like to write these down so that way, as we're all sharing, I like to write down what everybody shares so that, you know, if I want to add something to it, then I can. I'm a note taker. All right.
That's okay.
Actually, I feel that compassion works and flows perfectly with works in progress with spiritual and the human level. Because constantly on the human level, we are tested. And I don't, when I say tested, I don't mean that as a negative, because I don't look at them as a negative. In everyday life, when we're on the road, when we're in the grocery store, when we're at work, our spiritual self gets tested. And that's when it's time for us to remember that, hey, you know, we're trying to come from a higher level here, so I'm going to erase what I just thought about that person or that driver, and I'm going to send them compassion. And then I'm going to have compassion for myself for slipping backwards. I just came off the road. I've been in southern New Jersey. I've been in the southern part of Connecticut. And I met some amazing, wonderful people and a new soul sister on the beach, which is totally awesome. Because, you know, how often does that happen? But just being out there in the different places, the different stores or the places where I stopped in to grab some food and on the road, I noticed, you know, a lot of aggression. And I know that comes from people that are in a hurry. They just want to get where they're going. And I'm talking like this was even in the evening, and this was even on like, this was on a late Saturday evening, such as last night. And what I noticed is that the more compassion I sent out for those drivers, the more they backed off on me, the more they stopped cutting me off on the road. So I thought that, thank you for letting me go, David, because I thought that was the most recent perfect example.
Honey, I'm sorry to interrupt. You sound very muffled. We're having a hard time hearing you. Your sound sounds very muffled. And
I'm sorry. What I was saying, I didn't know that. Thank you. What I was basically saying in a nutshell, what it was that I just came off of being on the road for like a week and a half. And what I noticed was that on the human level, there's still a lot of people out there that are doing the spiritual thing by going to church on Sundays or Saturdays, depending on their beliefs. But they're still in the aggressive, I'm the only one here mode. And like I was saying on the road yesterday or late last night, that I was having compassion for the other drivers because they were so aggressive on the roads. And I was on like a, I think I was like on a 4 or 6 lane interstate highway, you know, and all lanes were full and flowing. Most people would get really agitated, angry for the people who are like cutting in front of you without the blinkers, or maybe the tractor trailer is starting to sway into your lane. And the human level, right, would react in maybe an angry, belligerent way, right? Where a good lesson is to remember, and like, I don't need to remember this because I remember it all the time, but a good reminder for all of us is to have compassion for those drivers, because if their hearts were open, as an example, I'm using the drivers, if their heart was open to the all, then they would not be driving so aggressively and erotically and dangerously. They would be driving with conscious respect, and still, if they wanted to speed, they would speed, but with the compassion of sharing the road. So I send out compassion and I send blessings, because if someone's on the road being aggressive, the for me to have compassion for them, to send them a blessing so that they relax or calm down, so that they don't hurt themselves or any other human being. So that's what I like to share. So thank you, David, and everyone who's wonderfully listening live and later.
Thank you, Jane. Let's, since Mary's been had such a challenging time getting into the studio tonight, let's come to Mary next.
Okay.
Hi, Mary.
Hi there. Well, I'm feeling pretty mellow because I just came from the Parlor Jazz, where we had a wonderful birthday celebration for one of my friends, and some beautiful food and some beautiful music and some great conversation and lots of hugs. So I'm feeling pretty mellow. And I think I've been working earlier today with Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe, and his whole philosophy of creating our reality, and that comes right down from the physical to the inner feelings, to the outer relations. And I think that's a very, very important thing for us to always remember, that we are in charge of our reality. And what you send out is going to return to you increased and multiplied. And that is the basic law of the universe. So, as we focus on what we wish to contribute to the universe and our particular part of it, which is of course totally interconnected with the rest of the universe, we just need to go deep inside and see, what do I want to contribute to the world today? What do I have to give? What can they not get from anyone else? Because every one of us has a totally different combination of gifts that we can share with the world. And that, if we focus on that, on the power that we have to affect reality and eternity and infinity, that is important. And as we build into our perfect expression of ourselves, our gifts, and our love that we can share with the universe, our compassion, our strength, our determination, everything that we have to give, then you can have just a wonderful life. I think that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Mary. Let's go to Sharon next. And we'll come back around again in case other thoughts are stimulated. Sharon, you're live.
Oh, hi. Well, thank you. Well, you know, my personal experience as far as a work in progress and spiritual and what was the counterpart, David, the other part? Spiritual and physical?
Spiritual and human.
Okay, well.
Human. Human. Depends
yeah,
on whether you want to call that actual or not.
Well, okay, so my work in progress is I'm always a work in progress in my reaction to the unexpected. I know what I set the bar for in what I want to achieve, and the unexpected being outside behaviors, external behaviors, whether it's in traffic or shopping and shopping carts in the aisle, or just encountering strangers, people, and the unexpected for me can be where they're the behavior from them is less than ideal in my book. Being cut off in traffic or dangerously cut off in traffic is what I feel myself reacting to. Or shopping carts is not a big deal because I don't tend to run into too much negativity in that area. But I like to see myself a work in progress, improving, in healing that part of myself when I'm reacting emotionally, when I feel my reaction to that unexpected display of behavior from someone else that is either rage driving or I'll think about it much later and be aware of what I want to move forward to in healing that part of myself. That work in progress is how I define that. I'm a work in progress in that way. Also, if I'm just not really pleased with how, if I'm talking to somebody and their comments or their responses, and I feel that it's coming from a place that is something's triggered inside them, and typically I won't engage in that, and it's harder for me to not engage in it if it's someone personally I have a personal relationship, like a blood kin or so. That's my work in progress. Spiritually, I'm fine. Spiritually, I know what consider it sacred, and that part of me is I hold dear. It's my walking on the planet that I'm always a work in progress. I realize that and know that. And what I want to contribute, and I'm aware of contributing to the energy that's all around us and the exchange of energy. And sometimes when I step back and I think about whatever episode it was that brought an emotional reaction inside of me that I thought, if I didn't have whatever is that being reflected by that person, that mirror inside of me, I wouldn't feel the reaction that I'm feeling, whether it's irritation or upsetment or, any aggravation, any of those feelings. So that's my work in progress, and I continue to strive in that direction. So I adhere to the and embrace the thought that 98% of awareness is 98% of almost being there. You know, you're there. You know, maybe 2% left to go. So thank you, David.
Thank you, Sharon. Okay, Kat, would you like to share? Oh, by the way, we have one other person that's joined us tonight, area code 407. Let me just catch your first name and welcome you to the circle. Hi, what is your name, please?
My name is Lori, and I'm enjoying listening to your show, and you guys are...
Oh, thank you, Lori. Well,
advice.
Tonight we're discussing the topics of compassion and being a work in progress at both the human and spiritual level. We have two more shares, and then we'll come to you. If there's something you would like to add to the discussion, we'd welcome it.
Oh, thank you. Yes, indeed. I would.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt, Kat. Go ahead.
Oh, it's so lovely to meet. What's the lady's name? I didn't quite catch her name.
Lori.
Lori? Wonderful. Thanks for joining us tonight, Lori. Compassion is understanding. It's the highest level of love. And it combines love, it combines passion, but not necessarily in a sexual way, more in a way of having a deep motivation towards understanding and therefore love. And we can see compassion in progress when we look at people who volunteer as health workers. They don't have to be for humans. My children and I watch Animal Aid Unlimited that comes out of Udaipur in India, in Rajasthan. We watch them all the time, and I deliberately allow my children to watch hurt animals be healed because it builds compassion within them. So what it does is it gets them to step outside of themselves and to look at somebody else and to see their suffering and to understand that they are suffering, and that even though their behavior may seem wrong or negative and fear-driven, understand why that is the case, and then you can move forward with them and heal. In the case of a street dog that's got a maggot-laden ulcer, you know, it's not going to want to get caught. It's going to want to hide. It's afraid. It thinks you're going to eat it. So it might lash out. It might try and bite. It might try and cause harm to the rescuer. But the rescuer is bigger, stronger, wiser, and kinder, and therefore compassionate, and understands that the animal is in pain and in fear, and persists anyway for the greater good. And that's what compassion is about. It's about taking that step of absolute love, knowing that the fear that is generated by the other or the experience that the other is having is because of something. It's not because that's who they are. It's because of something that's happening to them, an experience that they don't understand or they cannot control, or that they've created for themselves, but they are not wise enough to unfold it and bring it back into a place of peace. I think that compassion is something that we need to teach our children and we need to teach each other. It's something that needs to be more and more practiced in film and television. Just in regular storylines, we have so much that we practice in violence in film and television, and this influences our society. And then you see that. You see, as Jean said, people are rude on the road. People are impatient. When they're going home, and they're playing computer games full of anger. They're watching television full of anger. They're watching movies full of anger. You know, it's getting into their subconscious mind that the way that you treat each other is in a discompassionate way, a disconnected way. Whereas compassion's not relieving. Compassion turns you around and says, who is this that I have before me? Why do they act the way they do? I understand. How can I help you? And sometimes compassion is saying, how can I help you? And then sitting back and waiting for them to realize that, yes, I do need help. Other times it's, I'm going to help you and you don't understand that I'm going to help you, such as, you know, with animal aid, pulling those poor dogs and donkeys off the road. So there is also that element of dealing with the innocence of the pain of others as well. It's quite a deep and complex subject when you start to unfold compassion. But at the core of it, it is the highest form of love. And it is something that we can choose to be in. And we can cultivate in each other and in our children. And it's important that we do it. We need to stop and think a lot. I think that we are taught not to. I think we're taught just to react, not respond. And then we just create more drama for ourselves and others. And then things start to fall apart, and it's an easy path to destruction. It is much harder to operate in compassion in some respects because you have to be in that state of kindness and thoughtfulness and mindfulness. But when you're in that state, you're in a place where only love can thrive. And therefore, the road to where you want to be is not fraught with disaster. And as Jean said, the more that she put compassion out to people, the more that she said, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you, the less energy was coming back at her that was full of curse. Because what we're really talking about too is blessing and cursing. And when we are in compassion, we're blessing others constantly, putting that beauty out there to others. And then others react in a way, subconsciously, of being beautiful back. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that's time. Was there one final thought you wanted to that?
Just keep blessing everyone.
Oh.
Everything.
Thank you, Kat. I really appreciate it. I like the two topics very much. I was thinking I might speak a little bit about work in progress, because we all are works in progress on a journey towards recovering those bits and pieces of ourselves that have become splintered along the way, and creating a beautiful mosaic from them. I believe that when we come into this world that we are perfect, but that we carry karma from other lifetimes that we need to deal with and overcome. And the challenge is not to create more negative karma in this lifetime, but to come to recognize that we've chosen this life to learn certain lessons, and that we don't need to repeat those negative experiences from past lives. And I'm getting a little bit off where I wanted to go with this. I tend to think at a creative level, and I'd like to be a little bit more practical. I know that in my own life experience, I've needed to take a look at the journey that I've been on and to practice compassion for the pieces of me that have been hurt along the way. pieces that I wasn't even aware of that I had damaged in some fashion or another. And so I think that before I could really, really give compassion to another, I had to give it to myself as I journeyed along. The same thing goes for love, and I believe that what's been said about love and compassion certainly resonates for me. Without love, there can be no compassion. And I think that I learned many years ago that I did not have a lot of love for self. And the way for me to achieve that was starting to give myself compassion. And as I did that and was more gentle with myself, I started to heal. And today I feel like I'm a whole new self. And, you know, this is part of the human work in progress that I have chosen for myself, that that's part of my journey. And I don't think that I have anything else to add at the moment. I'd like to go to Lori and see if she has anything that she would like to say on the two topics. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Hello. I enjoyed what you had to say, and you were basking my brain, or at least we were on parallel thoughts about compassion. And I agree with what you said. The only way anyone can actually feel compassion is taking that mirror reflection of themselves and actually realizing, hey, you know, I'm not my label. I'm not what my parents said I am, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandmothers, cousins, because these people are just as broken as we are, if not more. And it's just so funny how we got our human programming from all of these friends and relatives. God bless them all, because we need union and we need to be amongst friends and family, but we don't have to be our friends and family. We have to be our own best friend. We have to love that person staring back at us in the mirror and have compassion, love, and empathy and understanding for that person first, because that's the only way then that you can reflect to other people what you are, because what you are, you can't reflect what you're not. So if you are loving to yourself, if you're compassionate to yourself, if you show yourself empathy, and if you are able to rewrite the stories that you were programmed with and rewrite the doubts that you were given and spoon-fed, whether it was at school, whether it was relatives, whether it was neighbors, whether it was that mean older brother or older sister, you can't be mad at them, because we're all broken. We're all walking around as broken souls. But what you can do is, once you know that you've grown up or outgrown those people, those influences, that environment, you can show yourself some compassion and self-love and set your boundaries, and you can turn away from those people in the most loving, kind, and polite way possible without striking out, because, again, they're not at the same level of compassion and self-love and understanding. And that those are all spiritual gifts also, too. And I'm also on a spiritual journey, and I have temporarily, gotten away from family, friends, alleged friends, family members, because I want to be a better person around them, and I don't want to go back into the give and take, the back and forth, because, first of all, that's not healthy for me, and I don't imagine it's healthy for them either. So I have done that for me, and that just makes me a more kind, loving, compassionate person for either them, if my energy is going to bring them back into my life, or even if my energy doesn't bring them back into my life, I'm okay with it, because I'm okay with me.
Thank you, Lori. Is that it for Han?
Yeah.
Okay, great. We do have another person that's joined us. Let's just find out what their first name is and then include them in the circle after we've done a little more sharing in case people want to add. I'm going to go to area code 848 and just ask you your first name, please.
Hi, my name is Zeta, and I just tuned in, so I'm not sure what the conversation is about. I'm sorry.
I know you did, Erna. That's no problem. What we're talking about tonight are compassion and being a work in progress. And if you'd like to contribute, I'd be happy to come back to you a little bit later on. Would that work for you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. This is actually going to be our second go-round on the topics. And now let's limit our shares to 3 minutes if there's anything else that people want to add. And Ada, we certainly can give you more time to talk if you want to when we come back to you. Let me go back to Jean. And hold on, Jean. I'm bringing you live now.
Thank you, David. I love what everybody said. And Mary talking about, you know, the sharing of our inner strengths and who we are. And as compassionate human beings on a spiritual level. Thank you for sharing that, Mary, because that was a great word to share, strength, because it also takes a lot of strength to remain and walk the talk on the spiritual path. Kat, I really loved what you said about understanding compassion regarding seeing compassion in other people's. As you're right, we all need to see compassion in ourselves first. And Lori, you know, I love how you eloquently put it, because you're right, you know, I'm out there in the world teaching myself as a holistic teacher, and it does start with deprogramming all the programming and deprogramming your subconscious mind too, because a lot of people don't realize that if their conscious mind is actively excuse me, is actively saying positive things about ourselves, compassionate things about ourselves. But let's say that our subconscious mind is contradicting that because of our programming. And you kind of have a tug of war, and you just need to have more compassion with yourself and compassion for the little self, the teenage self, the young adult self. And that also tied in with what David said. And I think what Sharon said, but yeah, I just wanted to add that I agree. Compassion starts within. Once we have compassion for ourselves, and we can have compassion for everything. I'm one of those people that I used to stop on the main roads and get it out of the car to help a turtle get to the other side of the street so nobody would kill it. So that was having compassion for that turtle. And there's many ways to have compassion. You know, having compassion when you're gardening, when you're weeding. How many people get in there and, like, weed aggressively, right? Not everybody, but some people do. When I go into my gardens, I talk to my flowers and my weeds and let them know that I'm in the weeds, that I'm going to be pulling them out so I don't put them into shock. And that's having compassion for the spirit of the weeds. So there's all levels of compassion, and it takes spirit, it takes practice to be, to walk the talk all the time. So when people slip or when we slip, we give ourselves compassion, empathy, understanding, and then we sit and then we keep going forward. And that's all I would like to say, everyone.
Thanks, Jean. I'm going to come back to Mary. And Mary, you're live.
Hi.
Well,
hi.
You know, when you speak of the work in progress, of course you know what I do, and you know that I'm I am putting the very last touches upon the book that I'm completing about taking people into other lifetimes and rewriting history and erasing karma. And I just have to say that we come here. We have the immortal human spirit comes here to work against resistance, because in the spirit world there is no resistance. So when we are working against resistance, we are getting stronger. And that's why we come here. And compassion, I've always puzzled as to how two words that mean so much, when you put them together, they mean something totally different, and it doesn't make any sense. Because calm is with, and passion is a tremendous feeling, so powerful that it's hard to control it. And compassion seems to have come to mean sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings and or misfortunes of others, which is a kind of strange way of feeling intense emotion and passion and feeling of doing something with others, which is a kind of, I don't know, it's an anomaly. But as we work here, as we come to this planet deliberately to work against resistance, and we have to understand that just like the red checks on our test papers in school, those red checks really are a map to guide us toward what we need to learn. And so many times, what aggravates us the most, what hurts us the most, that really, really upsets us and annoys us and gets our juices really going, is what we really need to work on the most. And if we can focus on what we came here to do and to work with the wonderful gifts that we have been giving and we are getting, we're receiving every single day, how can we not help but be that work in progress that is progressing? And that's what it's all about. That's it.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, let's go back to Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Well, hi. Hi. as the oldest of a very large group of siblings, the nine, I had a lot of compassion for others, but we were raised in a house that I remember one night that I flash back on when I was about 10, 11 years old, I burnt my hand because I was the cook assistant in that house. And so I burnt my hand on the burner at the kitchen stove. I put my hand on the burner to see if it was still warm. And indeed it was. And I scorched my hand. So my parents were orphans. And what my mother was doing that evening, as I was lay whimpering in my bed at night with the burnt, scorched hand, she was telling me to stop it. Stop it, she called from the living room to my bedroom. Go to sleep and stop your crying. And so it took me, that was when I was 11, and it took me many decades to understand that I wasn't, let's see, I think it was within the last 5 or 6 years, maybe 7, 8, I started understanding that I wasn't feeling sorry for myself, that I had compassion for myself, when something would happen to me on an emotional basis or a physical basis, whatever. That, and to this day, when I go to the doctor, and if they, I've had, what do you call it, a couple of times where they've had to cut surface skin for the basal cell carcinoma, just a couple of times that they've had to do that. And I'm in there after doing that and afterwards kissing my skin and saying, oh, you poor skin. And these tend to be younger people that are in there. I don't think they're at that, you know, oh, this woman, you know, what is she? But I feel such compassion for myself. So definitely, I know it starts within, and certainly I've always been compassionate for others. I mean, always. And I mean, how could I not? You know, as a caretaker from the time I was born, you know, that was my label and my role in the family. I was the assistant to everybody, and being the oldest, compassion for myself was a learning process and a joyful journey into discovering the sweet caring and that nurturing and celebrating myself, you know, even just as that example of being in the doctor's office and that episode, the couple of episodes where they're doing whatever they're needing to do to get rid of the basal cell carcinoma. And
that's
so I love it. I love compassion.
Thank you so much for sharing. And let's go to Kat next, see if there's anything she would like to add. Kat? Are you still there, Kat? I think we've lost her. Okay. Well, Lauren,
no,
how about you? Oh, you're there. Okay.
Yes. Sorry, I had my phone on mute, so I was interrupted.
That's all right. I've done that a few times myself. People have been saying, David, David, David. So,
that story that Shannon just shared with us about her horrible experience of having a burn and her mother not understanding how to deal with that. And her mother hadn't been taught compassion. Her mother hadn't been taught it because she'd been brought up an orphan. And but Sharon had gone through an experience of growing and learning until she got to a point where she understood her mother and why she did that, why she reacted the way she did. That has been a beautiful story, a difficult story, and certainly a story of suffering, because that would have been so painful. And can you imagine being a child and not receiving the comfort and the medical attention that you needed? So we can just all of us sit here and think on that story with compassion on so many levels. We can unpack it. We can say the child who burned herself and wasn't properly dealt with, and have compassion and care for that. And we can have compassion and care for the adult who didn't know anymore, who wasn't wise enough because of her own upbringing and because of whatever had happened to her. And at some point when we do that, we stop perpetuating pain. We stop perpetuating suffering, because instead we turn around and say, I understand. Mm-hmm. And as human beings, the greatest gift we can give each other is understanding. That there, that one word, understand, it takes away so much pressure, so much pain, so much effort. It causes people to relax and to feel and to remember who they are. So I feel that of all the stories that we've shared tonight, that one there, it sums it up. It says, this is how I grew. This is how I changed. And this is what I know. And that is compassion. Compassion doesn't have to be an instantaneous experience. It can take a lifetime to get to that place of understanding and then to open the door back up to love on a level that is quite deep and would be, and how repairing, how healing for the women in that story to have that, and that the child in the story was able to take that time and that journey and come to a place where they could say, yes, I understand now. So that to me is a beautiful encumbrance of compassion. And I'd like to just leave with the thought that the two topics, I know I haven't talked much about human and spiritual work in progress, but I think that compassion is just that. I think that here we are walking this path, and as Mary said, we come here to be agitated. We come here so that we can have the pot stirred, so that we can grow and we can learn. And then in doing that, we must come to one of two conclusions, connection or disconnection. If we come to disconnection, we remain agitated. If we come to connection, we are baked. We are a beautiful cake. That's what we want to be. That's what we want to be. So grow in compassion, choose understanding, bless everyone and everything, no matter how difficult. You know, I had something happened to me the other night, and I didn't sleep a week, not one drop of sleep, because the rug was pulled out from under me, and I was devastated. But compassion and blessing the situation will change it. It will change it because interpersonal relationships will change, and that's the most important thing. That's why we're here. Thank you.
Thank you, Kat. Let's go back to Lori and see if there's anything she'd like to say. Lori, you're live.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to piggyback off of what Sharon said. And Sharon, if I was in the room with you, I would have taken care of you, just to let you know. I wanted to say that compassion can also be used as a coping skill, as in my childhood as well. You can use compassion and basically deal with the inner child that, you know, DNA has cell memory. And when we've gone through rough events in our childhood, everybody in their spirit wants to feel a sense of justice. So if you use compassion to get you to that point from inner child, and then you grow up into the inner adult, that is God's will being done. You are taking the steps and progressing from the inner child to the inner adult and reliving those painful events, but with a scope and understanding of having the new coping skill of compassion for yourself as you reminisce back on that situation, because nobody had it for you. They didn't have it because they weren't provided with the skills themselves, yet somehow you were provided with skills that your parents or caretakers or family members didn't have. And I think that is from working on your spirit, working on your spirituality, and being a work in progress, because my healing has come through my spiritual work. It has more to do with my ability to align with spirit than my ability to understand people, and to be compassionate with myself has also uplifted me and given me this really wonderful open-mindedness of compassion and understanding to resolve childhood issues, and also to go forward with continued work on myself and continued understanding of the fact that not everyone is in the same grade spirituality, because in my view, we go through pre-K, kindergarten, first, second, third, all the way to graduate school when we work in spirit, because it's all a learning lesson. And, you know, maybe I'm somewhere in high school now, whereas when I first started on my spiritual journey, I was in preschool. And that's how I feel about compassion. It can also be used as a coping skill when no one else has compassion for you.
Thank you, Lori. You know, the only other thing I wanted to say, I've loved the shares tonight. They've been wonderful. And Ada, I'm going to come to you next. I was just thinking about compassion as like a muscle. And in the beginning, we may not understand it. We may not feel that we have the capacity for it. But it's a matter of practicing, making perfect. And that the more I extend compassion, the more I'm able to extend compassion. It's just, it just overflows the more that I do it. And I had a situation earlier today where my ego was being tested and I was able to let go of any reactivity and have compassion for the other person involved and just accept that they had an issue that I didn't need to feed into and that I could bless that person and send them on their way. So thank you, Ada. I'm coming to you now. Is there anything you'd like to add on the subject? Subjects?
And I have a lot to add, but I could see that our minutes are being cut very short. For me, compassion has a lot to do with love, and being that when I was in grade school, I had noticed I was the only Hispanic person in Catholic Polish school, and a lot of the children did not learn compassion towards other nationalities. They were taught hateful things. And with that compassion goes with the love that they did not know because their parents never taught them. But I always had the love for them. And anytime a child got hurt, I was always there trying to help them up or do anything that I can with for them. And still to this day, my love and compassion goes a long way with all the hatred that's in this world. And it's very, hurtful that people don't take those two together, compassion with love.
Was that it, Ada? Because you still can share a little bit more if you would like.
Because I know I'm going to get cut short, so I don't want to get into it deeply more than what I have to say.
All right. Well, please join us. We're on every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And I just wanted to put out there my phone number for people to provide topics for the next month. And I'm going to give you that phone number right now. And then I'll have a storehouse of topics to pick from instead of searching for them at the last minute. And my phone number is area code 315-478-1086. And that is the best number to reach me at. And Ada, thank you for joining us tonight. And Mary has volunteered very graciously to take us out with a meditation. And so, Mary, go for it.
Okay, may I first start by saying to both Sharon and Ada, my heart goes out to you, and I want you to think of yourself as being stronger and more compassionate and capable of understanding other people's pain. And it is what I call on-the-job training. And sometimes the things that hurt us the most are the things that we need to go through to be able to understand other people's pain. So I would like everyone to close their eyes and take a very deep, deep, deep breath, starting with the belly. Fill up the belly first. Phillips, the solar plexus. Fill that air up into your lungs all the way up to your shoulders and hold it. And very slowly let the breath out. And as you let that breath out, let all of the pain and all the unhappy memories go out with it. Groom inside your being for the great love that is there for us. Take a deep breath and pull it in. Fill yourself up with this limitless love. And think about when we first come to this planet. The very first thing we notice after the pain that we have to go through of birth is our skin. We didn't have any skin where we were before. So feel your skin, every inch of your skin. Concentrate and be aware of your skin. And now, expand your awareness and be aware of an inch above your skin, all around you. Expand your awareness to expand a foot around you, all around you. Expanding with each breath, filling with love. Letting go of all pain, all anger, all confusion as you exhale. Become aware that you are everywhere in this room all at once. As aware of it as you were of your skin. Expand to fill your block everywhere at once. All of you, everywhere at once, filled with love, expanding even more. Expand to fill the United States. Expand to feel everywhere all at once, the whole planet. And take your awareness and that love that you're filling up with, more love capacity than you've ever had in your whole life, all the way out into space, little small planet, with all those people who are suffering and straining and stressing and fighting and hurting. And send them love. Send love to that planet. And then very, very, very gently float back down. Down to the planet, down to the United States. Down to the house you live in, down to the skin that you live in. Bringing with you the compassion that you just experienced. Take a very deep, deep breath and stretch, stretch. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Open your eyes. And notice how wonderfully bright everything is. And how happy you are and how strong you are and how free you are. Thank you for journeying with me.
Thank you, Mary, for guiding us. And so we come to a close. I thank everybody for your participation today. And if any of you would like to lead a centering exercise at the beginning of the show or do a closing meditation such as Mary has just done, it can be whatever you want it to be. We do the centering exercise for about 2 minutes and the closing meditation about 5. So feel free to contact me also at the phone number that I gave you if and when you're ready, willing to do that. And so good night, everybody, and God bless.